Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 101, Episode 4 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News.
Fuck off.
It's Thursday, September 26, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. The Daily Zeitgeist comes on at dawn. It'll come tomorrow. Unless it's the week gone, courtesy of Hannah Soltis.
Stretch that one.
And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Ray.
Ooh, hot takes so scandalous, and you know another pod can't handle it. We be dropping knowledge like who's the ish, got our own scam, got it so devilish. We like to dance on proposal spots, and you cruise to subreddits to connect the dots. Not just AKAs, we could use some drops, cause we live in La Vida Loca. We like, oh no, Trump, fuck. Miles like, what? Zach ain't move your butt. I think it's singing again, off the top, Fox News, fuck. And Coke Industries, what? All night long, let me rip that bong.
Had to rip the bong.
Yeah.
Oh, man, love it. Finding a sweet spot. People are starting to understand maybe what's hitting nostalgic points for me. Yes, Cisco Thong Song spoke to my heart. But yes. Ross X Andy. Ross Andy in the morning. Thank you for that.
That was fire, Ross. was that the morning show?
Ross and Andy in the morning.
And again, or maybe they're just friends who hang out in the morning.
I don't know. When you look on the bio, I don't see a link. I don't see link in bio to any work. So.
Now, Hannah Soltis was the creator of my AKA.
Yes.
And I don't often tell you how to do your job, but that was not ambitious enough for a Miles AKA. you had sent it at Miles. That's more my range, where it's only, it requires very little singing.
Right. Hannah should be honored because it caused a fight over an AKA.
Yeah. Yeah, we fought over it.
Because you were like, well, I think this is kind of more my speed. I'm like, well, that's weird, Jack. Yeah. You're not tagged in it.
I know. Yeah, and I noticed. So Thanks.
See, this is I think that's a high honor, though, to have people fighting.
Hell yeah.
Over your AKs.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented comedian and performer, Mr. Eric Lampere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Keep back.
I want an AKA.
Yeah. Right.
When's my AKA?
Do it.
What's, let's see. It's Lampere. I can feel it.
Lampere with a nice red.
No. Do you know MC Solar, the French MC? Maybe there's something you can do there.
Ages ago, yeah.
Nouveau Western. Great song.
You know what, for next time. I just want something for next time.
No, this is the show
this
now.
This is it right
We're
now.
We're just going to be writing a song.
Let's workshop this.
Yes.
Eric, it's Eric up my heart when I'm with... No.
It's Eric up my heart is pretty good.
Yeah. It's Eric
Lampere. Well, anyway, we'll figure something out.
Yeah.
Heart.
This is like Gang Can Listen to.
I wish your name was hyphenated and your name was Eric Lampere Hart.
Yeah. Lampere Hart.
Yeah, because then it would be, it's Eric Lampere Hart when I'm with you. And when you're on this pod, I see it's true.
It's Eric Lampere's art when he's...
I like that you take it this seriously. I appreciate
Eric,
it.
Eric, we're going to get to know you a little better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today.
Yeah.
There's a new Jurassic Park movie.
Thank God.
And they're bringing the gang back together. Folks. Laura Dern, Sam Neill, and that kid that Sam Neill threatens to kill at the beginning.
Yeah, who's like, sounds like a giant turkey to me.
Right.
He's like, oh yeah, until he spills your guts, homie.
No, Jeff Goldblum's the third. We're going to talk, of course, about the transcript that has been released.
Or memo.
Memo.
Yeah,
I'm
whatever
sorry.
You want to call it.
They released a not transcript. I'm confused by that, that they don't have an actual transcript of the conversations that the president is having. But we'll talk about that, what it is, whether it is a transcript, and whether we're surprised by anything. I personally was not.
Okay.
We're going to talk about why Mitch McConnell hotlined that resolution to release the complaint. We're going to talk about the fact that Trump's approval rating appears to be going up, shooting through the roof. We're going to just check in with Fox, see how...
Shooting through the roof of a basement.
Yes. We're going to check in with Fox, see how they're doing, how they're dealing with all this bad news about Mr. Trump. We're going to talk about... what Trump was talking about in the conversation when he started talking about what is it? CrowdStrike. Which conspiracy theory he was pulling out of his addled mind at that point. AOC's new plan for inequality, Samuel L. Jackson's new voice on Alexa. He's going to be the voice of Alexa.
Oh, hell yeah.
And we're going to talk about a 22-year-old, possibly 22-year-old child from Ukraine who was adopted and maybe a 22-year-old con artist, sociopath. All of that and plenty more. But first, Eric, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
well, the Brazen Bull. I was researching some methods of torture. And there's a really good one called the Brazen Bull, where it's a bronze bull, and you put the victim inside the bull, and you close the sort of hatch, and there's only a little gap where you can breathe, and it's like a pipe that goes through the sort of bull's mouth. And so you breathe through that, and then what they do is they light a little fire underneath. The sort of bull's belly, and as the torturous screams come out of the pipes, it sounds like a bull sort of...
because it's sort of being forced through this tube, so it loses its human... Wow.
That's how they used to do special effects.
the earliest Foley artists.
Involved putting somebody inside of a whatever the object was you were trying to put life into and torturing them.
Yeah, so I was researching that. I just wish that, you know, Jack Bauer on 24 used that sort of...
Yeah.
We need some more information.
Yeah.
Get the bull.
It's really heavy, Jack.
Get the bull.
Right.
Who developed this wonderful device?
I believe it was for the Spanish Inquisition.
Wow. Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah. They love
Catholic
their bulls.
Church. What
and
up?
They love their bulls.
They really wanted you to know that they love God.
Yeah. Wow, that's fucking... And was that used... How many people... I mean, in my mind, I feel like you would probably die very easily in there. Or it was just made just to heat it up enough that you got your bull screams, the court would laugh, And then out you go. Dr. Torquemada. Mr. Torquemada on his way.
I don't know, but also it would make for a good oven that if you did end up killing the person, you could have a buffet at the end.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's true. A cannibal buffet?
Yeah.
That's got to be the name of a band, right?
Cannibal buffet.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
If it's not, definitely the name of an animal.
Mr. Tomas de Torquemada.
What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, tandem bicycles. I had a real good think about this.
Oh, wow. Sounds like you almost hit somebody in a car who was riding tandem.
I've never seen someone happy on a tandem bicycle for the first 30 seconds a minute, yes. And then after that, the second person behind is like, well, this is shit.
It's like, sucks. I'm just looking at your back.
Yeah, I don't get to control any of this.
I see a lot of tandem bikes near Venice. And it always seems like a thing people just do because it's a thing to do, not because it's a thing they want to do.
Right.
It's like, you know, be cool.
Right.
Let's ride like tandem bikes, like by the beach, like in California style.
Yeah. And they're like, oh yeah. Then they rent it out for like 2 hours, and I'm like, this is stupid.
Until you have to navigate around people like that, and then there's always like the angry rollerbladers around the Venice boardwalk who are like, get out the way.
Right.
But you know,
I think there's no joy in tandem bicycles, and I think they should be. Destroyed all of them.
Good.
Right.
It's not fun
for the person in the front, or it's not any more fun than would be a single bike, right?
Like, I mean, single bikes, you know, you get to like see each other's journeys and maybe you follow each other and then you separate and you get
a little freedom. It's freeing when you're on a bicycle solo.
And if one of you falls, the other one can have a hearty laugh. But if both of you fall, you're both dead.
I guess also, too, if you think about it, right, there isn't... What's the benefit to it being a tandem bike? It's not necessarily that, like, oh, man, you get fucking speed when you got two people. Right. I get, like, if you're in a canoe or whatever, two people it might be better than one or something like that. But a bike, I think, aside from just being like...
It's like a Double Mint Gum commercial from the 80s.
I think that's it. I think it was that Double Mint Gum. I mean, obviously, it wasn't invented for that, but bike technology has always been suspect. The first bicycle was the penny farthing, was the giant
penny farthing, yeah.
Well, yeah, and then they were like, what if we made them the same size? Wouldn't that be crazy?
Oh, get out of here, you heretic.
Right.
Well, if it brings you a little joy, my underrated is the penny farthing.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Go on, sir.
That is so on brand.
I just thought, you know what, bring them back. They actually bring joy to people.
I feel like, well, at least they definitely bring a joy to me seeing someone on it. Because I think it's so dumb.
But there's also penny farthing racing. So in the UK, for example.
Of course.
There is penny farthing racing. And then like the people that watch the racing, they have bells. Ding, 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 ding.
It's just
very old school and
weird. Where is it? Is it a specific part of the UK?
I'm not too sure. But somewhere where people have been forgotten.
Right. And do women wear like fascinators too? Is it like posh or no? Is it very...
Oh, I don't know. I think there's a nice blend.
Yeah. I feel like if I'm going to a penny farthing race and I'm a woman, I'm throwing a fascinator on.
Right. You know what I mean? Yeah.
People don't know what fascinators are. It's the fancy things you see people wear, like
tiny,
the Jubilee, just like a feathered accessory.
Purposeless
non-hat.
Yeah. But does none of the work of a hat, but...
it's fascinating.
Yeah. It's a gesture towards a hat. It's like having a hat-shaped object pinned to the side of your head.
Right. Yeah. I just think we should bring it back. You know, the roaring 20s are about to come upon us.
Oh,
and I think that would be one of the things.
Come all over our face.
Wow.
Sorry, that was too much.
Cool.
But yeah,
ring the alarm.
I think they're back.
I'm still processing what you said, Jack. But the penny farthing. Have you ridden a penny farthing before?
No, I haven't.
I wonder. Are they difficult to ride?
I like that they exist.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, tandem bicycles. I fucking hate them.
Wow.
Honestly, I have a real anger.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I am seeing a therapist because of the tandem bicycles.
Right.
And what they have, the effect that they have on me.
Yeah.
There's
penny farthing.
Yeah. There's no
find me one person that looks at a penny farthing and just gets angry.
No one.
You won't find a single person.
No, I mean, again, it's...
I think you would, and they would probably be wearing a MAGA hat, like that sort of thing. Like, what is this bullshit? What is this European bullshit? Yeah.
The thing, though... Oh, wow. There, I'm looking at a video of the City of London's penny farthing race, and these people have, like... they're kind of modern. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, really?
This ain't your great-great-great-great-grandfather's penny farthing.
Huh.
They look like they have graphite frames and shit. Damn, that's a fucking... I just feel like to eat shit on one of these bikes would be so dangerous. Like
that's why it's wonderful.
You're hospitalized, guaranteed.
We have free healthcare in Europe, so we can take more risks.
Yeah, Damn. Well, we would do the same thing here. We're just we're still figuring it out.
Maybe that's why you guys have tandem bicycles. Maybe one of you's got healthcare, so at least you right. can take the risk of...
Then you can lie about who's the one who got injured.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, I'm actually, this is hilarious
to these look. Tall? Are they tall penny farthings?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty tall. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know they have to be. Yeah, but... that is how... Okay, interesting.
Well, shout out to all the pro penny farthers being...
wow, watching farting. Them go around a turn is something else, because they're leaning all the way over.
I just like to see a motorized penny farthing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I in the future, you often see these big wheeled... Right. Like sort of vehicles where you enter the wheel.
And then just ride off in
and
a wheel.
And you ride off in that wheel.
Yeah, it reminds me of the light cycle from Tron.
Yeah.
Legacy.
Hell yeah. Well, what's a myth?
Oh.
you're just engrossed in these penny farthing racing videos.
a lot going on over
so
here.
Last time I was on the show, I tried to debunk the myth of concepts. And I was like, how do I one up this? Which I thought was quite challenging, you know, mm-hmm. to deconstruct the abstraction of ideas.
Yes.
So this one, I really put some thought into it. And it, you know, people might not like this one, but mm-hmm. I think I found something, guys.
Okay.
I think the NRA is actually very good.
Oh,
wow. Interesting.
Yeah. I think it's really, really good for the country.
Tell me why.
Not really assholes. I think that's what they stand for, right? Because secretly, right? For every death that happens via gun, mm-hmm. the carbon footprint goes down drastically. And so I think the NRA is actually the best America has for climate change.
Wow. That's dark.
It's dark, but
feels
sadly,
like an art piece.
There's an element of truth to it. There's 40,000 people that die per guns each year, right? Jesus. Think of the carbon footprint.
Right, when you think of that and our inability as a country to actually address climate change, like in a way you're like, oh God, interesting. Wow.
So I think that secretly, you know, they get bad reps, but to distract you from the fact that actually they're trying to do some really good work.
Right. And when are you going on Joe Rogan? Is that next week?
I mean, that might work if everybody in the NRA didn't think that climate change was a hoax, right?
Yeah, but that's the cover up.
They
don't want you to think they're doing a good job. They want to be hated while saving the environment.
And now they're just broke and don't know where to go.
Right.
And if the NRA folds, we really are fucked up as a nation.
Yeah.
With climate. Because we'll see what happens with our ability to address climate change as a country.
Right.
Or maybe they'll just insist that consumers do whatever they can so industries don't have to.
Is that a admitted, acknowledged take that birth control is part of the climate change debate? Because I think Bernie might have said that during one of the debates or something. He was like, well, you know, I think it starts with birth control. Or he put that in there while he was on the topic of climate change.
Oh, interesting.
And it seemed like it was a little bit of a dark road to walk down.
Guns are a type of birth control.
Right.
Well, is he saying that access to birth control for women for unwanted pregnancies?
Right.
Like that in general, maybe not just in the case of abortion.
Right.
But just generally all forms of birth control.
All forms of birth control.
Is that what he meant?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't recall this line, but again, I'm not going on Joe Rogan later.
Yeah.
I might be. I don't know.
I did.
He'd like smoke blunts.
Get that talking point from
the
a
JRE.
Guest I learned about on the Joe Rogan podcast. A guy by the name of Alex Jones. Cool. Well, yeah. I think you've opened a lot of minds today.
Right.
And
at the very least... Maybe a couple of dark chuckles.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, this is the dark, morbid timeline we're in, right? We're just sort of looking at it's a very interesting time now.
And really, what I was trying to do is highlight the fact that guns are actually killing people.
Oh, is that what you meant? Well, I don't agree with that at all, then. I like that other take.
Well, speaking of dark timelines, the new Jurassic Park movie is bringing the gang back together into a world... in which, spoiler alert, I guess, at the end of the last Jurassic Park movie.
I guess,
movie,
look, if you don't want, we'll do our spoiler alert warning.
Yeah.
If you don't want Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, I believe was the last one. If you don't want it spoiled for you, skip ahead 10 hours.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
The dinosaurs were all people in dinosaur suits.
Oh, fuck.
Isn't that crazy?
I haven't seen it.
No, so the dinosaurs escaped into the world.
Is that what happens at the end of the last one? I've admittedly got halfway through and fell asleep.
I didn't get any of the way through it, but accidentally turned it on when I was trying to catch what was on after it. And so there's like a post-credits thing where a pterodactyl like lands on some monument. I forget if it was like a Vegas thing or...
Oh, wow. So in the last one, dinosaurs are released into the Earth.
Yes.
Yeah, but not just that, though. I also, if I remember correctly, InGen, mm-hmm. who are in charge of the embryos
right.
and stuff, yes. mm-hmm. were trying to weaponize dinosaurs.
Ah,
so
yeah,
you know, if you can control velociraptors and stegosauruses
right.
and stuff,
woo!
And just you know send them into war instead of humans,
yeah.
You can do some damage.
Or policing our streets to criminalize the unhoused.
Right.
Maybe that's what their ultimate thing is,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like a T-Rex just in charge of the homeless.
Yeah, right. Or like a stegosaurus just doing that. But I think...
It's a great way to enforce a curfew.
Oh,
you
right.
gotta say.
Just like, dude, don't
fuck... The T-Rex comes out.
There's a velociraptor curfew
right.
team that comes out, and
yeah.
they will eviscerate you
yeah.
if you're out there. I was actually thinking of that kid who you were talking about from the first one.
Yeah.
His name is Whit Hertford.
Yeah. I've actually... We got a pitch from him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, back at Cracked.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He looks the same still.
Yeah,
it's
he looks
very
identical.
Odd.
Yeah.
So
he's the one that like Sam Neill sort of threatens with the
raptor
the,
claw.
Yeah. Raptor claw.
He's
across
like,
his belly.
What does he say? He's like, he looks like a big
turkey
to me. And
oh.
Sam Neill is like, yeah, he'd tear your guts up, kid.
Yeah, he's like, he'd slash you here.
And your insides would spill out in front of you.
Right, and then Laura Dern's like, maybe you
like,
shouldn't have a kid.
Yeah, and we're all like, that's our protagonist.
Right. I was looking at his credits. He was a dancer in Pharrell's Happy video.
Yeah.
Amongst many other things, too, but I'm just going to choose to look at that.
I wonder if he was happy to do that or his agent just forced him to do it.
Right.
I mean, well, technically, wasn't that a 24-hour music video?
What is that?
The whole Happy video was like an
art
piece.
That seems too long.
Yeah, that was 24 hours.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, there'll be like hour one, and it's all over. Like, there are many people who are in the Happy
video. Did anyone watch the whole thing? Like, that feels very
Clockwork
Orange.
I remember when it came out. I was working in radio, so everyone was talking about it. I watched maybe 10 minutes, because after that song loops for like the fourth time, you're like, oh, yeah, thanks. I see Angela Trimber dancing at a gas station, and I
right.
saw some other people I knew, and then I was like, I think this is it. I don't need to see anymore.
Right.
But huh. Hey, look, it's an art piece.
Because
well, good for Pharrell.
I have a question. Do we think Laura Dern is somehow too big to be in this Jurassic Park film? In my mind, because of Big Little Lies, I feel like she's... I don't know. In my mind, I've elevated Laura Dern to this other thing now.
Well, it's just that it felt like she sort of disappeared for a while.
Right.
And then she came back and she smashed it in Big Little Lies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the whole team in Big Little Lies, very, very good guys.
Yeah.
Right.
But no, I mean, in a way, Jurassic Park, it's not what made her. But certainly,
no.
like...
Definitely put her on the map.
Put her on the
I
map.
I think, right?
Right. So I think maybe as an actor, you'd have that sort of respect.
Right.
For Jurassic Park that you do like, oh,
be like, yeah.
But I hope the script is good because they keep messing it up.
I am
kind of annoyed with Jurassic
Well, it went
World.
From a Michael Crichton novel, which
right.
has already its very interesting elements to it,
yeah.
to then these like tentpole films that are just like, hey, you want to see fucking dinosaurs fuck shit up?
Right.
Essentially, it was like Fast and Furious with dinosaurs.
Yeah.
But I'm still going
to
watch
it. I love
Vin
Diesel riding a
it's all about
an Albatosaurus. Yeah.
Drinking Miller Lights at the end.
Kind of went the direction of Michael Crichton's career. Things were going really well, and then he started doing like climate change hoax stuff.
He did?
Yeah, at the very end.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wait, like being like, I don't know about y'all.
Yeah, his last book was about how the whole climate change thing is a hoax.
Interesting.
Wow.
R.I.P.
Here we go, Michael. And he gave us Westworld, too.
Yeah, he did.
And Sphere.
But so...
And so many things.
Yeah. Westworld was in the 70s, I believe.
Right.
It was a movie he wrote in the 70s.
So what, do we cancel him now? Do we cancel his entire career?
Posthumously?
That's not us. That's not up to us. There's actually a cancel council.
Right.
That we will
the
then...
Council.
Yeah, then we submit that to the cancel council.
Right.
And then they will hand down their determination at the end of...
Bring in the next sacrifice!
Right.
Goldblum seems also... I mean...
Well,
I don't think she's too big.
Well, not that she's too big. I'm just feel like
the dinosaurs
she has
the
most
the
swag to me
big,
now.
Miles.
Hey. Oh, boy. Can we get a bomb?
Thank
you, sir. Because that was explosive. I don't know. I think I just have become a Renata fan.
Yeah.
And
no,
I think
she's
that's
incredible.
What I mean.
Yeah. And I mean, that performance is so big, like that it almost doesn't feel like it seems like she should be working on more challenging stuff than the character from Jurassic Park who's just like, Sam.
Well, maybe she'll scream at the dinosaurs, I will never not be rich or something. And they're like, whoa, what? That was that in the script? Let's keep that.
Although the sexual tension between her and Jeff Goldblum in that one scene where he's like, let me see your
putting
hand
the water
here.
On there?
Yeah, putting the hand.
I used to do that as a pickup line.
Oh, yeah. Anyone that talks to me about chaos theory.
Yeah.
Is, honestly.
Can get it.
All the variations. All the little hairs. Mm.
All right. We're going to take a quick break while Miles keeps doing that to my hand.
Just putting
and we'll
it's
be
all
right
hot
back.
Cold brew I'm putting on your hand. It's cold.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back, and it's time to get into impeachment.
Yeah, they pulled one on us the other day.
They did.
Right after we record, then they decide to open up an official impeachment inquiry.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of knew it was coming.
Yeah, right? I mean, yeah, of course.
And it was
nice
already,
to be on the same page, though, Nancy.
Yeah, it was already confusing what changed, other than it was like a press conference for her to be like, but I'm on board this time.
Right.
Now I'm doing it.
I think maybe she felt the Russia stuff and all the emoluments and all the other things they would have wanted to fold into the impeachment inquiry prior to this was just a little too tenuous or something. It wasn't nailed on. Like just, and then you have the president admitting to it where it's like, oh, fuck.
Right.
Thank you.
But I mean, they were already in an impeachment inquiry. And she was just like, and now we're really opening and
officially, right? Because what Jerry Nadler did was sort of set the terms of what it would look like. So it was like a movement in that direction. But this is the full on being like, okay, now there'll be officially an inquiry.
Got it.
With all, you know, six committees looking into it.
You know, despite all the chaos that he's created, there is something kind of weirdly enjoyable in watching what is happening.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Like, obviously, with all the horrible hatred that he's...
Yeah, I mean, there's a bit of Schadenfreude, right? Where you're like, okay, maybe this is the act where the bad guy maybe is held accountable.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think a lot of Americans, too, just have this dark, fucking cynical feeling that nothing will ever end this.
Right.
Which is also my concern. But I feel like there is something I take joy in. It's mostly Rudy Giuliani losing
his incredible
shit every time he's on the news. Because now, as we have, you know, the transcript, as quote unquote, as they call it, it's really a memo that's basically a lot of the...
An impressionistic transcript.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Where other people, intelligence people, are listening in on a call and just jotting everything down so you have a nice summation of what happened. And even then, it's very clear.
Oh, by the way, we should explain for people, a transcript is like a sort of PDF file that feels like inside a sort of Word document.
Yes, thank you.
Just in case. Right.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for advocating for our audience who might not know about what a transcript is.
Right.
But even in the transcript, right, it's very clear. The Ukrainian president's like, hey, I think we're ready to buy these anti-tank missiles we need to fight the Russians.
Right.
And the response is, okay, I need you to do me a favor, though.
Right.
Which to me sounds pretty clearly like when you use the word though, that's sort of the operative word there. You're saying, okay, I understand that. However, there's this thing I'm asking you for.
Right.
Whether or not, you know, they're going to argue that it's just, you know, it's all misunderstanding, it's bullshit, whatever, fine.
But because the $250 million Trump was actively withholding from him were not overtly mentioned in the
right. There's no price tag.
Right.
I don't know what the tit for tat is.
Right.
And again, if you really think about it, if you really want to get that fucking myopically focused on what it is, like, well, he didn't say those words. Just imagine the situation, right? You're a newly elected president in a country where the eastern part of your country is being annexed actively by the Russians.
Right.
You do not have the means to defend yourself. You're relying on foreign aid to do that. You're in a dark, dire situation that where like the stability of your entire country rests on the protection of this region or being able to at least fight off this insurgency. And your funds are withheld by a government who told you they like help is on the way. And then suddenly it's like, oh, that guy from the country that you need a ton of shit from wants to talk.
Right.
And then you get on the phone and it's like, hey, Joe Biden, huh? Maybe you're looking to Joe Biden, huh? What do you think about Joe Biden? Oh, you want javelins here? First thing, Joe Biden, though.
Right. The second, defense spending. He's like, yeah, we could buy some things, some weapons from you. Trump starts asking him to look into. The first thing he asks him to look into is a DNC server hack thing that we'll explain what that is a little bit later. But then he goes into the Biden thing.
Right. So...
Can I ask quickly,
how
does a transcript get written? Is there a human being that actually has to listen to what Trump...
There's a group of people that are listening in on a call and then transcribing what's being said.
And is it AI that automatically does it? Like Siri, you know, you can talk it to your phone and
I
it
think
just automatically
there's
gets
a blend
written.
From what I've heard from past NSC, like people who've been doing interviews this last week, from the Bush era to the Obama, it's pretty much the same thing. The only difference with Trump is that it's less people now involved in listening in. But... they do use a mix of, like, I think, technology to sort of help transcribe things. Oh, yeah, but also there's a lot of humans also doing it to also figure out the nuance so they can actually put that in the summary.
Right. So can we take a moment of silence for the people that have to do that?
Yeah.
That is – what a job.
Yeah.
That's a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To listen to that man and have to write down his words.
Yeah.
Right.
Ah!
Well, and I think it got worse because after that one transcript that got leaked where he was begging the Mexican president to be like, hey, can you just stop saying, like, I'm going to pay for it? Like, it doesn't help me.
Right.
Like, when that came out, I think they really tightened the leash on that group because they're like, I know he said it and looked completely ineffective as a leader, but, like, please don't leak this. So now only, like, a couple people here.
Right.
So, anyway... we all get how big this controversy is. Before we get to Rudy Giuliani, I think we should get to Rudy Giuliani because When he's sort of at the center of this, because prior to this whistleblower complaint, he had been talking about going to Ukraine and talking about all this Biden stuff. And now that like all this shit is coming out in the open and maybe he wasn't able to like affect the plan that they thought they could, where like magically Ukraine would be like, and here is this damning report on Joe Biden. He was very confident. Now that everything's coming out, he is not doing very well. He's been sort of in a downward spiral in terms of being able to spin this. But this first, he was on Laura Ingraham and she was really doing her best to try and act as if Rudy wasn't just spinning.
Revealing everything. Yeah.
Yeah, and just like digging a deeper hole.
He's like Schrodinger's lawyer. I love it. You know, like, I didn't do it. I did. No, right. But I didn't.
But right. If I did, and I did, yeah. Wait, but here's some more.
Yeah.
I don't know. Bye.
He exists in separate states at the same time. It's very quantum. But he, and Laura Ingraham, you won't hear much from her, but she has very person talking to a drunk person at a wedding and like just kind of getting restless
right, because,
energy.
Yeah. And in this case, I think what happens based on what he's talking about, Senator Chris Murphy had visited the president of Ukraine before and Zelensky told him, he's like, I think Trump might be withholding these funds because of he wants me to do some other shit.
Right.
And when he came back and said that, Rudy is, I think, trying to I don't know, some weird conspiracy that, in fact, Chris Murphy was telling the president of Ukraine if the president of Ukraine didn't cooperate with the Democrats would with, I don't know, listen to this shit.
Biden did, or Chris Murphy, by the way, who should be impeached. He went to see the president of the Ukraine, and he told the president of the Ukraine that if he cooperates with the president, they'll cut off aid. That's a quid pro quo. That's a quid pro. That's threatening. Nancy Pelosi should be outraged at Chris Murphy.
Nancy should impeach Chris Murphy.
Okay, let's
just, interesting.
She's really trying to be like, oh, what are you saying here?
Right.
This isn't good for any of us right now.
Right.
And it gets better.
Yeah.
He then, I don't know what exactly he means here. We can talk about it on the other side, but he sort of suggests that he has receipts in case he is made to look like the total fall guy in this or something.
Right.
Where he is essentially scapegoating the State Department yeah. for his actions.
The State Department being like Pompeo, like well, Secretary the cabinet, of
State. So
right.
Right. So Secretary of State is Mike Pompeo. They deal with a lot of our, you know, our foreign relations and things like that. So I don't know. He's claiming. I don't here. Listen to this.
Saying. You muck this up, your response.
Man, I really did. And you know who I did it at the request of? The State Department. I never talked to a Ukrainian official until the State Department called me and asked me to do it. And then I reported every conversation back to them. And Laura, I'm a pretty good lawyer, just a country lawyer. But it's all here, right
holding
here.
Holding up his phone.
The first call from the State Department. The debriefing of the State
so
Department.
So why are they out to get you? This story is filled with unnamed sources again.
I will compliment myself because I do a pretty good job for him, and they try to destroy everybody around him.
I'm still not sure what he's getting at, but based on what I think he is, he's saying, "Well, I'm not the one at fault here. I didn't just go out here randomly to fucking meddle over there in Ukraine to get something for Trump.
Right?
The State Department asked me
told
to do
me
it.
To yeah." Do it.
Okay. I never spoke to a Ukrainian official until the State Department asked me to.
He also starts like laughing in the middle of it for no reason, but like it's in a way that like suggests, I don't know. Like there's this episode of Malcolm Gladwell's podcast where he like talks about how Elvis had this one part of one of his songs that he couldn't get through in live settings.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I
because he like had a mental like block around it because it was like tied to something in his childhood, and like he played some of it, and like he just starts, he's like, and well, you know, and like just like starts like laughing uproariously, and like can't, like he's
and he
just
can't
like
stop, yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's, and that's what Rudy Giuliani sounds like there, like he's like, you know, I got
right
the State Department, I'll tell you what.
Well, it's because it feels like his back's against the wall,
right?
There. And that's what I feel like. And his response is, well, I have motherfucking receipts. Upon my cell phone.
Holds up his cell phone like it's the ignition switch of a fucking bomb that
right.
he's got strapped to himself.
And I wonder if it's like, oh man, that's another piece, which is why this gets even more interesting. And then he goes in his third act
right.
on Laura Ingraham's
this is when
show.
He just starts coming apart.
There's a panel of people talking. One person I think is probably saying something about how Rudy Giuliani is saying things that are probably going to worsen his situation. I'm not sure what he specifically said.
Like, Laura, leave him alone.
Yeah, but Rudy goes after this panelist in a way that is very emotional.
Yeah.
And I think might be telling of what his situation might be. But listen to this.
And Rudy, you've been listening to this conversation.
Yeah, I sure have. And I'd like to say to Mr. Hahn. I'd like to say, Mr. Hahn, I should sue you for libel. Because you irresponsibly say...
Oh, please.
Yeah, well, you actually usually say incredibly stupid things.
You're a public figure.
Yeah, and...
So you can't sue.
By the way, do you have any idea that the State Department...
So then you know the libel law.
Okay,
shut up, moron. Shut up. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about.
Chris.
You don't know what you're talking about, idiot.
I do.
The state... No, you don't. You just lied.
Mr. Mayor, I wish you would stop.
You lied, my friend.
I wish you would stop, Mr. Mayor.
Well, why don't you tell him... Why don't
you tell him... I wish you would stop.
Why don't you tell him to keep his mouth shut so we can tell the truth?
Yeah, Chris.
Wow.
Just keep your lying mouth shut.
Will you shut up, moron?
That guy is, I think, a former Chuck Schumer aide, or I know he's worked for Chuck Schumer at some point.
Right.
Here's something that's, I think, interesting, right, to look at, is the entire administration and the people working with them, right? All they know that they're not really being honest, right? Mm-hmm. Which means that ultimately, none of them trust each other.
Right.
And mm-hmm. that's something that's kind of interesting to watch.
Right.
Because you think, they're lying to all of us.
Right.
But they're working as a team.
But it's actually, more the honor among
people,
thieves thing.
Yeah, a lot of people don't consider that actually they're all lying and therefore they don't trust each other.
Well, because
and so then
Trump
all of a sudden
only...
they're constantly looking over each other's back and worried and they have to play with each other while at the same time not trusting each other.
Right.
That must be a wild life to live.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
Right?
I'm
it's
sure.
constant
oh, yeah.
fear.
Stress.
Constant fear and stress.
And then to that point, I think that even underlines why Rudy Giuliani is like, what do I know? I'm just a country lawyer, but I know how to protect myself in case someone wants to have evidence to insulate myself from something.
Very strange appearance from him.
And I think this also goes to the point of with Mitch McConnell the day before, Chuck Schumer brought forth a resolution to make all the whistleblower complaint material available to the respective intelligence committees in the House and the Senate, basically saying like they need to release it to these committees. Mitch McConnell did not push back against this. He fucking hotlined it, which means there's no debate. It just goes straight to a vote.
Right.
And the Senate unanimously voted for this, which is very, what the fuck is going on? And it makes me wonder, like, what the fuck does Mitch McConnell know or think is going to happen? Because it doesn't make sense. If you asked me any other time, like what Mitch McConnell would do, I would say he would stonewall.
Yeah.
Because that's all he's been doing. This guy won't even fucking put up forward a bill that's passed in the House to deal with gun violence.
Right.
Or fucking securing our elections. Things that have all kinds of support from the, that's not going to get you in hot water with voters. But it's always meant to protect the president. And then in this instance, it's like, yeah, okay, great. No debate. Let's everybody get in line. Unanimous consent. Let's fucking release this material. Now, does he know what's in the material? And he's thinking, that's all good. Like we were able to weather the Mueller report storm, and we can fucking we'll just lie our way out of this one. Or is it that it's like, oh fuck? Does he know it's really bad, and he's trying to get ahead of it by being like, I was very transparent and blah blah blah, so I never pushed back against this. I was terrible. You know what I mean? Like if he's trying to set himself up already to be like, nah, I was with it from the beginning. I knew that was bad.
Yeah,
it's hard to know because this is. Until we start, I wonder if there are going to be any real Republican defections aside from Justin Amash from Michigan in the House. But like, I wonder if those.
Well, Mitt Romney seems to have set himself up to defect, right?
Like, he said it's very deeply disturbing or something, right? Which is what he said even before the transcript or whatever we want to call this thing came out. But it's evolving in this odd way. And again, this no honor among thieves. If Mitch McConnell knows, wait, this shit is too radioactive for me to even be around, and I have to think about myself now. Maybe it's time to sacrifice the orange. Yeah, exactly. The orange cow to the sun god of impeachment. I don't know.
Yeah.
The Washington Post is reporting that there are cracks in the Republican bloc in the Senate kind of appearing. There was a lunch on Tuesday, so before the impeachment inquiry was opened, where they seem to, like, anonymous sources, but people who were there say that two factions were forming, one that was kind of behind the president and being like, yeah, he should look into Biden because Biden did a crime. So that was Johnson, I think, from
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. And then Burr, who is the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, which has a reputation for being, you know, actually on
somewhat
this
bipartisan
earth.
yeah.
And Richard Burr was the head of another sort of camp in the Republican Senate, which is kind of like, this is bad.
Right.
This
it's a, on paper, objectively bad.
Not a good thing. It's bad for our party. It's bad for him. It's bad for our country.
But this is what's weird, though, too, right? And I think to what you, I maybe you were going to say, Eric, of like, this is the line?
Right.
For Republicans? Mm. Like, it wasn't all this other heinous shit? What's really odd to me, it's like, maybe it's like, well, we can dance around all these other terrible things of how we're mistreating and abusing human beings, but this... Since this actually falls into a thing that can actually be like constitutionally adjudicated or something, now they're like, ooh, fuck, this is bad.
Right.
I don't understand. But it's interesting calculus. We'll never know because everyone is just self-serving, self-dealing.
Yeah.
It's interesting to, I never really knew much about politics before anyway, really, but it is about winning, isn't it? Everything is about winning at any cost,
yeah.
even lying, spreading rumors. You know, you spread rumors about your... the opposition,
right?
And you're winning, and I find that interesting. That politics isn't about taking care of the country.
No, well, especially not here.
It's right. Just a game. It's just, yeah. That's all it is. It's just a game.
It's a game, and it's and I say this all the time. It's the way to be the most popular person in your part of your state.
Yeah. Right.
You know, if you're a senator, if you're a congressperson, you know, like, and that thrill of, you know, shaking hands and kissing babies and shit. I think it's addictive. There are some people who are trying to do good. But they're definitely in the minority.
And then you have to play the game. That's the frustrating thing. You have to do good. But you have to do good among a sea of torturous shit.
Yeah.
And so then you're like, well, what do I do? Do I just keep doing good, but no one's listening?
Right.
Or do I kind of play the game a little bit?
Do I push against the tidal wave or do I surf the tidal wave?
Yeah.
Right. Well, one thing that's probably going to affect all of this is how the American people feel. And so I always look at 538 for their overall average approval rating because they take a bunch of different polls and weight them. And Jason Pargin from Cracked, writes on Cracked as David Wong, was pointing out on Twitter today that Trump's approval rating is at an all-time high or at near the peak of where it's been in his presidency. It's at 43. It's not a good peak for a president. Like, this is kind of around the low of the Obama presidency, but it's still, like, relative to his past approval ratings, it's up. He's underwater less than 10 percentage points. So, mm-hmm. You know, his approval is 43.1%. His disapproval is 52.9%. It seems to, I mean, like, when you look at the chart, like, it's going directly up in the past half a week.
So maybe, I wonder what that news is tied to, because that, do they say when the poll was taken? Probably the end of last week? Or
yeah, it's the end of last week. So it seems to be around when this news was first starting to break, which mm-hmm. seems incredibly confusing that the presence of the scandal would cause people to support him more.
Right.
But I mean,
I think we should probably see what next week's polls
right.
look like, because
yeah.
I don't know. So much has happened this week, and I don't know. It's possible it could go up too, because now it's like the real culture war left versus right thing. The gauntlet has been thrown down,
yeah.
in the form of actually now we're hurtling towards impeachment.
Yeah,
that now people are like, all right, go to your corners.
It is quite difficult. I have spoken to a few Trump people who are just unwilling to even just take a moment.
Yeah.
Just listen. Forget the news.
Thing,
just
yeah,
listen
yeah.
to what he's saying.
Right.
Right.
And so it is amazing.
Yeah.
To really watch the level of consciousness and self-awareness that actually doesn't exist in the entire world. So this is not just America.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you look
for
at
sure,
Brexit,
right.
you look at loads of other things. People are just asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just
truly.
Sort of reacting every single day to things without a goal in mind.
Yeah.
They're just sort of reactionary little vessels without any sort of thinking. Oh, I don't
yeah.
know. I mean, it is amazing to watch. That's the thing as well.
Well, yeah, and it's really alarming too, because with things like that are so critical to just our the survival of our species, right, is somehow looked through some lens of not just objectively taking, like, you know, put facts aside. If you said, would it be bad if the Earth's weather got so bad people couldn't live anymore?
Right.
Should we do something about that? If that was a problem? And like, oh, here you go, man. You're just trying to replace my cheeseburgers with kale. And it's like, right. No, dude, listen to what we're saying. Or even just half the policies, even on the left, that are like, everything the left advocates for benefits every American person.
Yeah, this poll is about as depressed as I've felt for the country, like, at any point.
Right.
That maybe it's not tied to the impeachment, but it does seem like, I don't know what else it could be, and it just seems like it's just everybody retreating into their own corners and being like, there is no objective truth. The only objective truth is fuck you. Like, you know, that's it. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back, and let's talk about Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah.
One of the, is he still the highest grossing actor of all time? Probably, right?
I think
at this point, because now he's also in the fucking, who's fucking
Avengers
with Sam
movies?
Jackson? He's Avengers, fucking Jurassic Park,
Star Wars. Prequels, but still.
Hey.
almost all the Tarantinos.
Yeah, right. Shout out to all the Mace Windu fans out there.
Yeah.
So I guess there's maybe an, I don't know if there is an arms race yet to have celebrity voices attached to your smart device.
Right.
But Amazon, they just had an event where they announced that they're going to have many celebrity voices that will be able to tell you jokes, let you know if it's raining, set timers, alarms, whatever, all that shit that it does. But now they want to marry all of that ability with celebrity voices. And the first one they unveiled was Samuel L. Jackson. And for so this is like a mode you can upgrade for 99 cents, whatever. But the thing that I like is that there are two modes, explicit and non-explicit. So I'm hoping that if you mishear the Alexa give you the weather and you're like, what? It's just like, say what again? I'm like, oh, shit. Fuck, this one's keeping me on my fucking toes.
Right.
This whole event, as I read about it, like all the things that Amazon's unveiling, I feel like we're really hurtling towards this future where Amazon is going to be the source of everything that we need. Like we will do everything through fucking Amazon. Because another thing they brought up was right now there are now 100 million devices equipped with like these Echo speakers. But at this thing, they said that they've begun a collaboration with Discovery for a upcoming subscription streaming outlet called Food Network Kitchen. And it's a $7 a month service that will supplement live and on-demand video programming with ingredient and equipment delivery through Amazon and playlists optimized for Alexa.
So it'll be like, okay, we have a playlist of videos that are essentially recipes, and if you check your front porch, the ingredients for this next recipe in your playlist will be there.
Or you can say, be like, oh, I want to do Coq au Vin, but I don't have these things.
Right.
And then, boop, all the shit you need is just there.
Yeah.
It's, man.
Almost like a magic trick, except the way they make that magic trick possible. There's a article, I think it was ProPublica and the New York Times did a co-investigation into delivery of Alexa packages, and they don't use the traditional, like UPS has UPS trucks that travel around. FedEx has FedEx trucks. Amazon created this network. It's kind of like Uber for package delivery, and except the people are under insane deadlines, and because the package is not a person who's going to give you a bad rating if you drive badly and like in a terrifying way, they're going to do that occasionally. And so there have been all these accidents where people have been killed, people have been injured by delivery cars, unmarked vans that are delivering Amazon products, and they don't know to sue Amazon because, you know, there's nothing on the car that hit them that says Amazon. And Amazon and their nation of lawyers have arranged it so that they're not responsible for, like, they can't be sued, essentially.
Oh, because they're like, they're not employees.
Right. They're not employees. That's smart. At will. Very.
I mean, that's super smart, isn't it?
I'll
tell you one thing that's really smart as well with Facebook and Amazon and all of that is it's very hard to complain to them. Have you noticed how, like, you know, you go into the contact area if you need to, like, make a sort of complaint?
Yeah.
And it's like, how can we help? And it's like, I'm trying to complain.
Have you looked at the... Oh, hell
no. Right. And there's just a constant, like, a labyrinth of places to go.
Like FAQs you have to read, right?
Yeah.
We have millions of articles in our database.
It's actually very smart as a business, I guess.
And well, it's also... The irony, right, is like Amazon is this gigantic company with all this money, yet they can't even pay these people a living wage to prevent this kind of driving.
Right.
It's the root of all of this, right?
Right.
Is that people are not taken care of.
Right.
And they say, now the only, I was not able to maybe go to college or get a degree. So now I'm relying on the gig economy to sort of supplement my income be my income.
Yep.
And then on top of that, my options are limited to driving very unsafely under unrealistic deadlines for my own survival.
That's right. And
what is the world coming
to? It's pretty simple though. I mean, it used to be like delivery driver used to be a union protected job.
Right.
And now it is a freelance gig that you pick up and, you know, have to drive around like, you know, your life depends on it. And so like have to deliver packages so quickly that you can't take bathroom breaks. And sometimes you occasionally kill people.
And this is the thing too, even talking about, right, like even the frustration on the right for people who might not even be politically savvy, like there's a group of voters who really do believe immigrants are why their financial situation is the way they are. That's why they're anti-immigrant. It all ties back to people's needs are just not being met.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's the root of all of this shit. Because if if everyone's belly was full and they didn't have to stress out about maybe their parent having cancer and that they don't know how to afford their medical care and things like that, if those stressors are taken away, it's much harder to be susceptible to xenophobic propaganda and things like that. And, you know, that's where I'm like, my hope is that if we can actually take care of people, right, that some of these things can at least begin to dissipate. Maybe not for this generation, but going forward in general, that if the government treats you with humanity, if society treats you humanely, then maybe you can treat each other humanely.
Right. But it is, again, very complex as one person to consider the health and mental health of 300 million people in one country, yeah. Right? A lot of people blame old people for things, right? But I'm not old. I can't even imagine what it's like to be 64. At 32, I went to a psychiatric hospital.
Right.
What will I be when I'm 64?
Right.
Honestly, I am terrified in a way of what I could become, because life just sort of takes you sometimes, mm-hmm. right? In a place that you could not even have imagined.
Right.
And for me, as a 64-year-old, even now, like my sister's 20, and she sometimes tells me how life is, and I try to sort of stay calm because I remember what I was like when I was 20,
sure.
and stuff like that. But sometimes, you know, like young people can get, you know, antsy and like full of passion and energy, and they mm-hmm. get in people's faces, and it's like, bitch, you have no idea what life right. can take.
At 20, my God.
So you have to think of all the complexities of social, economic backgrounds and geographical location, everything. And on top of your own life,
right?
So it's so difficult to sort of think about other people when you struggle. And I find that xenophobia, bigotry, all of that is actually a sort of tool to alleviate your stresses.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If you really struggle, it's so much easier just to go, well, it's that person's fault.
And that's why I
feel kind of better.
Yeah, right. I'm on the right side because they're the problem and I don't like them.
Yeah, and it's sad. It's sad because it's like,
And a lot of it's just born out of lack.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course.
Yeah. I don't know why I just Googled this, but at the start of the Civil War, the northern states had a combined population of 22 million and the southern states had 9 million. So it was less balanced than our country currently is.
You just thought, you're like, what were the numbers?
What are those like rosters?
What's that roster look like?
Yeah.
They got 22 million? Damn it.
Shit. Let's talk about one of the wildest stories that has come across the Zeitgeist news mm-hmm. desk in a while. It's the story of an adoption. This couple in Indiana that has adopted a number of children. One of the children they adopted made national news for being a genius.
Yeah, like the child they adopted had autism, and then I think the doctors were like, I don't think you can really even expect to be able to communicate with your son. Like, it could be really bad. And then the mother, I think father, started tutoring the kid and is now like a math genius.
Oh, right. Wow. That's pretty cool.
And that was like sort of like the gist of this. They got famous because of that.
Right. So,
if you love and care for someone, that turns out
thought?
You get the best out of them.
Yeah. Right.
Rather than just disregarding them.
So that family adopted a troubled 9-year-old girl from Florida who had to be emergency adopted. Is that right?
It was because through an emergency adoption.
Right. So the family that she had been with was emergency. Like, it was bad enough. The previous situation was bad enough that they had to get her out of there.
But they didn't know what the reason was. When they were adopted, they were like, oh, this kid just needs a home.
Right.
We'll do it because we're a very kind people. Let's open up our home.
Right.
And then, oh boy.
So the 9-year-old they adopted was from Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And she had dwarfism. And they just felt like things were kind of strange from the start.
Yeah. Well, within the first year of the adoption, so they say this little girl threatened to stab them in their sleep.
Yeah.
Would like be watching over them as they were sleeping with a knife in their hand. She pushed the mother towards an electrified fence and was caught. They caught her pouring bleach in their coffee.
Is this not, this is a horror movie.
Yes.
Orphan.
It's called The Orphan. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is what happened. And then they're like, hold on, what's going on with this kid?
Right.
So then things got a little bit more interesting. They they noticed the father was giving her a bath. She had full pubic hair.
Right.
And was menstruating.
Yeah.
And they're like, are we sure this little girl's 8 years old, 9 years old?
Right.
And then would like even, there was like all this trouble. They went to a family counselor. This 9-year-old girl was like, said that she described some of the connection exercises the family therapist suggested, described them as childish. And they're like, yo, she has a robust vocabulary. She just shaded this therapist. Was like, these are very childish exercises.
The mom said, at the time, I ran a little school, and I remember this 9-year-old girl said to her, these children are exhausting. I don't know how you do it. Which is like kind of, just kind of a cute thing for like a 3-year-old kid to say or right. something, but like it, to like parrot back as like something that she's heard an adult say.
Right,
but,
and then there was another example, right, where the child was like, she was asking for her parents to like carry her into the ocean. They were at the beach, and like the siblings were playing by themselves. And she's like, "Oh, will you carry me?" And they're like, "Not, we're tired. Can you give us a second, and we'll take you." She's like. Because she was acting like she couldn't walk or whatever is too much for her. She was just like, fuck it. And then just ran herself into the scene. They're like, what the fuck was that?
Right.
Like, there are a lot of these moments. So
wait,
then,
she was pretending she couldn't walk at that time?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then just ran off into the sea because she wasn't willing to wait to be carried.
Right.
So there's all these things. And then she had to be admitted to like a psychiatric hospital where they were thinking, like, they're like, a lot of the behavior is sociopathic. Then they're like this sort of story evolved into the mother and father claiming that they're like, this child is not 8 years old. This child, we suspect, is 22.
Right.
There's a 22-year-old adult who looks very young, who's just pretending to be a child. And that's when these parents got in trouble, is because they essentially got the state of Indiana to like change her age to
right.
consider her an adult. And then they took off to Canada with their other son, who was like the math genius, so mm-hmm. he could study abroad. So then now the state was treating them leaving to Canada as like a child abandonment. But
right.
they're like, we paid for her rent or whatever. We tried to keep her there, but she's not a child, so we couldn't have abandoned her.
Right. Like, it gets into a very strange legal situation. Like, the movie Orphan just ends with them basically, I think, killing her, like, as she's trying to kill them because, like, somebody's like, oh, my gosh, she's actually 50 years old or something like that. But, like, because they don't have this person's papers, they have no way of saying, like, how old they are.
Right. Because they did, like, two different bone density scans or something where they took
right.
them, took her to a doctor. The first one said, they're like, no, yeah, she's 8.
Right.
Or, like, she's 8. And then another's like, nah, she might be 10.
Right.
Which is only a year older than they had suspected. And then they're, so, but the mystery is, like, they don't understand. The doctor who sort of verified that she was, in fact, 22, I think, passed away. And they're like, they're not quite sure how, why the courts allowed that her to change the age. So it's a bit of a mystery even on the parent side, because you also have the father saying like, oh, my ex-wife is lying about this stuff. But then his lawyers say the cops weren't actually, like, they were actually completely misinterpreting what his intentions were when he was saying something like that. And one insider basically, like, who's working on the case was saying, this is going to be a fucking movie.
Right,
yeah, essentially.
But like, I think they've done the horror version. They should definitely do the comedy version.
Right.
Because imagine being her and just going, oh shit, I'm gonna play with these dolls for the next few hours,
right.
just
right.
to like just to keep cover and pay rent.
And she's like, really? Like, I was never gonna hurt them. I was just trying to get them to emergency punt me so I could find a new family because I was getting bored with these people.
Right.
I just don't, it's the whole thing is very, very
And I'll be honest,
odd.
You know, financially I could do better. Currently speaking, so if there is anyone out there that would like to adopt me, I am 32 and
right.
I'm upfront 32,
francophone.
My bone density is, I'd say, average.
Great for your age.
but is bone density usually a reliable indicator?
I have no idea.
Damn,
yeah.
Girl, you got some nice bone density,
right.
baby.
Anna Hosnia, come on in.
Hi, I have some thoughts. Okay, apparently when they put her in the psychiatry ward after she tried to push the mom into an electric fence, apparently all the doctors that she interacted with confirmed that she's definitely older.
Because she was saying she was older too.
And then
them,
she
right?
admitted to being older and said that she liked to kill people because it was fun. It was just something to do. So it was like a lot of sociopathic behavior, and they start to realize, oh, she just needs a lot. She is not okay, and she needs help. And apparently she's just, I mean, it's a lot of issues going on at once to create this woman/girl who knows, it's like issues. But like, I think she's an adult because apparently also she didn't like playing with toys. She would actively be like, I don't want to play with these. Like, stop trying to give me dolls.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of weird stuff. And I think it's very important to know.
She's like, do you have any rosé?
It's very important to note they don't know where her whereabouts are. She's disappeared.
Right now. Oh, that's even better.
Which means that she's probably conning another family.
Cut to the mom listening to the Daily Zeitgeist and then pulling her headphones off, and the little girl's right behind her.
Well, actually,
what are you listening to?
But that, I think, is more terrifying than anything else, and I think speaks to her clear.
Like, she's up to something.
Con woman.
Right.
Because how could she just disappear? How does no one know where a child is?
Right.
Like, she just was like, all right, I guess I'll just move in here.
Well, I mean, it could also be.
Don't look behind you.
No.
Could also be a tragic story of, you know, a child whose parents are like, nah, she doesn't play with her toys. She's an adult.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying it's. Well, I know. The things that put me in the adult camp is that she had pubic hair and was menstruating.
Like, some people develop earlier, right?
Not, maybe. You don't have a full set of pubic hair.
But then they said she was trying to hide.
Yeah, she was trying to hide, like, her menstrual.
Yeah, like any underwear that she had bled into and things like that. So she I don't know. But again, that could have been
Carrie,
a shame thing.
Carrie
could've
does been that. Carrie right. tries to hide her.
Yeah, but Carrie's a teenager.
Who are you, Carrie's mom?
Yeah.
That's
confusing.
But again, like, that's why there's enough to see that there's a darkness where she originated from that she's carrying through to, like, her new life.
Carrying.
Thank you.
Also, we
Carry
need
on
to
my
know what
son.
Happened to the original people who adopted her that decided that they couldn't keep her anymore.
Right.
Something is going on. Something is going on that we are not. There's details. Also, the woman. I don't know. I watched that interview she did. That woman she's been tortured. She was so, like, something
traumatized.
She had gone through it. Like,
well,
she's
their marriage
broke
up after the true, but there
was
things
in
left. You.
There was
no,
horror
just,
in her
yeah,
eyes.
Yeah,
like,
oh,
she did not look
like
okay.
This took its toll.
Yeah, it feels like that is a con woman who has understood that I have these disabilities and it's hard for me to live on my own and it's easier for me to act as a child and I can get away with it, and then also has potentially, and as a doctor, which I am, I don't know, maybe is so deep in it that has kind of lost touch with reality in many ways and leads her to try and, I don't know, kill people? I don't know.
I would believe that she's less aware of herself consciously doing this and might just be sociopathic.
Yeah, I agree. I think
be like, okay, here's my plan.
Yeah.
Versus like, she's just, she's got lizard brain on and she's just doing whatever the fuck she got
to
do.
If she's gone from one sort of, you know, foster family to another, then people are just replaceable, right?
Right.
People are just momentary, you know, moments of time. And so, like, to manipulate them is just like, yeah, you're just another doll to me.
As I've been playing
with. If anything,
with.
Like, she doesn't play with dolls because you are the doll.
Yeah, she's playing with human dolls.
What if that's the explanation she gave when they were like, why aren't you playing with your dolls?
Because you're
the doll.
Oh,
because you're the doll.
Oh,
I
my
play
God.
With and manipulate.
Ding, 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 ding.
I think this is an appropriate story to end this episode on because this
Don't
is what
around.
America is burying our head in is true crime shit. We're like, everybody's obsessed with true crime.
That
the country dissolves around
set
us.
Off by a Daily Mail article.
Right.
I have to say, I do love true crime commercials, you know, because it'll be like, and he murdered his wife. Anyway, we'll take a break now. Do you have a bra that you like to wear?
Just check out Maiden Form.
Maiden Form's a great company who we respect.
Mr. Pro Hanes here. I love all the Hanes brands.
Eric, it's been a pleasure having you.
Thanks for having me. I just want to say that my show is on
tonight.
At the Broadwater Theater. So anyone that's in the Los Angeles area, I'd love it if you came. And if not, I've got another one in October.
Nice.
And you can find out the dates and stuff on my Instagram.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, but come back to me.
Okay. Miles, where can people find you, and is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Are there tweets I like? Yeah, I think so. Want to hear a couple? Like to hear?
Here you go.
The first one is from Yodoye Travis at Professor Doye. It says, Black compliments ranked. Number 5. You did your thing. 4. You stupid. 3. Okay. 2. I'm just trying to get like you. 1. Damn, this shit sound like it's from the Goof Troop soundtrack. I don't know why that fucked me up so much. I love that. And then Last one is from Louis Peitzman. Louis Peitzman. At Louis Peitzman. That says, I keep singing impeachment like The Simpsons.
A tweet that I'm enjoying is Katie Stahl tweeting, it's here, you guys, the show we have been threatening you with for months. It's here. That's about worst year ever. It's a new podcast from our network, from Robert Evans, Mr. Cody Johnson, and Katie Stahl. It is very good. It's going to be a weekly podcast about 2020, the lead up to the election, the political wildness that we talked about today. But you always learn something new. Every time they record an episode, I learned, for instance, in the first episode that Jake Tapper got his start with a column in which he bragged about having dated Monica Lewinsky during the Lewinsky scandal and was like, and she didn't put out, but
what?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking Jake. Yeah, you got CNN people fucking suck.
Yeah, you got to check it out. And there's an even wilder revelation in, I think, episode 2 or 3 about Joe Biden that I think might end up derailing his campaign. So listen to this podcast that everyone will be talking about around the water cooler. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we write out on, Miles.
Before we get to that, I want to shout the Zeit Gang out. I want to put their attention. If you're in Chicago, October 16th, that's a Wednesday, 7 p.m., the Chicago Podcast Festival will present Ethnically Ambiguous, the podcast, live. If you want to hold it, if you're Zeit Gang, you better be at this motherfucking show, okay? Pull up. Tickets are affordable, I'd imagine, as they are, because it's a live podcast, baby. It's not gold, you know? So October 16th, check that out.
It is gold, comedy gold.
Yeah,
hold it. I'd say the Zeit Gang are wonderful.
You are unaware, in case you are ignorant to the reality, October 16th, Chicago, Illinois, Anna and Shireen are coming for you. Okay? Yes. So prepare thyself and get your tickets.
Please.
Chicago Podcast Festival 2019.
We have her tied up right now.
Please help.
Show better sell out. So the song. Yes. Let's do a song by. Now, last week, if you looked on my Instagram stories, I talked about Diwali Rhythm, which is a dance hall rhythm that's used in many songs, sampled in many songs. I wanted to bring people's attention a little bit more to another drum sample that's very, very pervasive. It's all over the place. It's the track It's a New Day by The Skull Snaps. It's from 1973. The drums, if you are a hip-hop head, you will recognize off the riff, okay? Maybe if you're a Linkin Park fan, you might remember it from the track on Hybrid Theory, Cure for the Itch, that Mr. Han does. You remember that plaque. Anyway, and it's also in Butterfly by Crazy Town. This fucking sample is everywhere. It's also just a great
track. Oh, so all the classic hip-hop songs.
Yep, or Hippa to the Hoppa, Old Dirty Bastard.
Hippa to the Hoppa.
Okay, or Mike Checka by Dos Effects. It's fucking everything. So check out this song and, you know, let's just embrace the history of hip-hop.
All right. We are going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we will talk to you then. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.